Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
That's her right here on Authentic News on the 7th day of February, 2024, RBN, on Revolution Radio, raw deal. Let me get my show straight. We have NATO getting ready to enter the war with Ukraine's defeat. This is fairly stunning stuff, but in some ways not surprising. We have the massive defeat of Ukraine, which has been using NATO weapons, NATO troops, even in many cases, such as the French forces who are destroyed. South Front is reporting what's going on here. NATO patrons don't understand the defeat of the Ukrainian military and are preparing a further escalation of the war against Russia. London reportedly proposed to its allies to consider deployment of the NATO Expeditionary Force to Ukraine. The chief warmonger supposes to covertly transfer large, highly maneuverable NATO forces from the border area of Romania and Poland to take defense along the Dnieper River. This would allow the release of the necessary military reserves of the Ukrainian army to send them to the front. The operation may include a prospective preemptive strike by the armed forces of Moldova and Romania on transitive, as well as deployment of the NATO military on the territory of Norway and Finland, to disperse Russian forces and launch strikes on strategic infrastructure facilities in the northern region of Russia. In other words, the empire, the Rothschild Empire, isn't willing to accept defeat. Last night, Hal Turner had a rather sensational news broadcast. I listened to 45 minutes of it. It turns out that Poland has issued a notification that between 5 February and 5 May, any aircraft in Polish airspace must keep in constant communication by way of their transponders. The Polish Air Navigation Service Agency has issued a notice to air missions covering a vast tract of airspace in the east of the country along its border with Belarus, extend all the way to the Russian enclave of Kaliningrad on the Baltic coast. The warning, which was posted on February 2nd on a PANSA, that's the Polish Air Navigation Service Agency website, is valid for a period from February 5th to May 5th and is due to concerns about an increasing threatening security situation in the east of the country. The NORTRAM states that unmanned military activity related to ensuring state security can be expected within the area. Hal Turner interprets this to mean that NATO is going to enter the war against Russia between the 5th of February and the 5th of May. And I suspect he's got it right. Meanwhile, we have a top secret Russian electronic weapon based in Kaliningrad jamming GPS technology on flights and ships across the eastern flank of NATO. This is from the Daily Mail. A top secret Russian electronic weapon allegedly based in Kaliningrad has been jamming GPS technology on flights and ships across the eastern flank of NATO. Western intelligence services fear there has been disruption to the GPS guidance of air and sea traffic in Finland, the Baltic states, and Poland, according to Estonia's military chief. What we have seen is a malfunctioning of GPS for ships and air traffic, General Mark Herem, commander of the Estonian Defense Forces, told the Daily Telegraph. And we really do not know if they, the Russians, want to achieve something or just practice and test their equipment. The suspected electronic weapon causing this disruptions is likely based in Russia's military site in Kaliningrad, sited between Lithuania and Poland, according to Western intel findings. Now, this seems to me one more indication that the Russians have very sophisticated electronic techniques, measures, and countermeasures, such as a couple of years ago, the USS Donald Cook was in the Black Sea and found that when a Russian bomber approached, all of its electronic equipment was nullified. It was all frozen. It was all inoperable. And the Russian plane passed right over. Many of the sailors, feeling they had been sitting ducks, even referring to the ship as the USS Donald Duck, got out of the Navy because they could see they wouldn't have a chance against the Russian forces. I suspect that is correct. And that if Hal Turner's right, that we're going to have a war between, world war breaking out between 5 Feb and 5 May, and he was giving advice about stocking up on canned goods, especially on water. Human beings consume a vast amount of water, and because it's normally available, ready at hand, there's usually no problem accessing it. You may not realize how important it is to stock up on water. So I suggest what Hal Turner is talking about may very well be true. He also made the following point. The Russian missiles are hypersonic. They travel as fast as 7,000 kilometers an hour. I mean, they are super, super fast. He pointed out that Hillary let it slip that our own missiles take 4 minutes in the silo between the time the order is sent out and the missiles are actually capable of being fired. In less time than that 4 minutes, the Russian hypersonic would have the opportunity to take out the American military missiles. Our strike force, our retaliatory force, would be nullified by the hypersonic missiles. Now, again, I think Hal Turner has it right. And the fact is that the U.S. military and our defense contractors have got so fat and happy off of all the easy contracts they've had in the past that they've continued to put out old-fashioned equipment in comparison to what Russia has, that there's no more mutually assured destruction capability by the United States, that Russia can take us out, but we cannot take out Russia. Russia has also made it very, very clear. This is Hal Turner now, this is very much worth discussing, offered two scenarios in which he thought World War, which might precipitate World War breaking out. The one would be a false flag attack by the Ukrainians on the Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant, because NATO nations have said, and I thought it was quite absurd at the time, that if, you know, radiation residue, if a cloud of radioactive particles were to transit across a border into that of a NATO nation, they'd regard that as a nuclear strike against NATO. Now, that, in my opinion, is ridiculous. But notice how it sets up a false flag. All NATO has to do, all Ukraine has to do to precipitate a NATO offense against Russia is attack the Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant. He thought that was one alternative. The other scenario, the United States has declared it's going to send F-16s to Ukraine. Now, Russia has made it very clear that any F-16s that are nuclear capable would be unacceptable, would be destroyed by Russia forthwith. Now, it turns out that Ukraine has no airports, no landing strips that are suitable for the F-16s, number one. Number two, the United States made it mandatory that F-16 being sent to Ukraine be nuclear capable. Number three, this means they'd have to be flying from airports in other nations, Poland, Romania, NATO nations would have the airports. The Russians have declared that if airports in these other nations are used for the F-16, they will be mercilessly attacked. And that has been asserted as recently as 2 days ago by Medvedev, a former president of Russia. So there are two scenarios. He, Hal Turner, believes the second involving the F-16s is the more likely. But just notice how easy it would be to precipitate a world war. And remember, Israel actually would like this. Israel thinks if there's a nuclear exchange between the U.S. and Russia, that Israel is going to emerge to lead the world. I think it's a fantasy. I think it's lunatic. I think it's absolutely harebrained. But people act on the basis of what they believe. And that's the case, even if what they believe is harebrained, lunatic, or a fantasy. So if they really believe it, and I, alas, suspect that they do, then we may be in for a very rough ride. I think that everyone ought to take precautions, just as Hal Turner was suggesting. But as a practical matter, I got to admit, the overwhelming majority of Americans, even if they were to hear this warning, would be unprepared to take the measures necessary to protect themselves in the event of a nuclear war. So there we have it. The situation, very bad, very dire. And of course, we're continuing to send weapons off to Ukraine, or want to, but has been held up by the border business, because the new Speaker of the House, very cleverly, in my opinion, tied together more funding for Ukraine and Israel with border security. Now, border security is atrocious. There is no border security. It's not even clear how much Greg Abbott's efforts are contributing to border security. Let me mention a hidden problem with Greg Abbott's moves now. Some have wondered why this governor of Texas should only now be taking measures to secure the border. After all, it's been going on for years. Roughly, since Biden came into office in 2021. So what we're talking about, roughly 3 years of border insecurity. So why now? This is leading to a lot of support from other GOP governors. For example, 25 have declared their support for Abbott. Some have sent National Guard down there. There are independent militias who are coming down. If there should be the precipitation of the equivalent of a civil war, that would afford an opportunity for the Biden admin to declare martial law. And under martial law, they can cancel the presidential election. Remember, it looks like there's going to be a massive defeat for the Democrats, no matter who they run. I've emphasized before, and I say again, it will not be Joe Biden. He's a total loss. Nobody believes in him. I've now identified four different body doubles playing the imposter Biden. Some of them are wearing latex masks, Biden masks. In some cases, they're even representing him by a robot, literally by a robot. You may have heard me mention that footage where Biden was walking toward Air Force One, you know, the Marine Corps helicopter. His back was absolutely rigid. His motions were 100% mechanical. He had the face of Joe Biden. This was a face mask on a robot. It was too mechanical. It was too precise. It was like it was a machine that was marching toward Air Force One, and I say it's because it was a machine marching toward Air Force One. I mean, they are insulting us from beginning to end. And by the way, all the reporters who are covering the White House know that they have in the East Wing, in the Eisenhower office building, they've got a phony Oval Office with a giant teleprompter. So the fake Biden can read the script. And we got photographs where you can see the audience there watching the fake scene. They're not reporting this to the American people. Everything about this administration is phony, fake, and contrived. Meanwhile, we've had some political developments right here in the United States, including that the head of the RNC, Rona McDaniel, is resigning. Here's one of the stories from WLT Report. Caught up in controversy surrounding excessive spending and backlash over the GOP's record of losses under her leadership, Republican National Committee Chair Rona McDaniel has faced mounting pressure to resign in recent months. News broke late Tuesday that he has informed GOP presidential primary frontrunner Donald Trump that she will be stepping down from the position after the upcoming South Carolina primary. I think that's good timing. The South Carolina primary is going to be the end for Nikki Haley. She is a former governor of South Carolina. If she can't win there, she can't win anywhere. And of course, she's been massively defeated in Iowa and in New Hampshire. But if you want to understand about this financing, here's a piece from the Gateway Pundit talking about how Rona McDaniel has been expending funds. I was shocked. Get this. Here's a breakdown of the spending categories between the RNC and the DNC. Floral arrangements, RNC, $70,328, DNC $795. What the hell is paying $70,000 on flowers? Consultants, RNC, $1,078,279. And 47 cent versus DNC, 114,000. What do they need to spend $1 million on consultants, office supplies, RNC, 297,717.64, DNC, 45,005. Limousines, RNC, 263,000. 127 and 25 versus DNC 7,000. But how about matters that might make a difference? Voter file maintenance. That sounds like a good one. RNC, $39,233.50. DNC, $235,865.88. GoTV Tax, RNC, $86,019. DNC, $1,676,923.29. That would be texting messages, preparing scripts and the like. State outlays, RNC, $13,800,200. DNC, $23,835,437. So in categories where you don't need to spend a lot, the RNC is spending a lot. The DNC is not. In categories where you should be spending a lot, the DNC is spending a lot. The RNC is not. Here, this kind of breaks my heart. Bid to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas fails after three Republicans join the Democrats. The bid to impeach Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has failed after three Republicans voted no. House Republicans introduced articles of impeachment against Mayorkas due to his failure to secure the southern border. When the measure went to the floor for a vote Tuesday, it failed to pass. After Representative Ken Buck, Republican Colorado, Mike Gallagher, Republican of Wisconsin, and Tim McClintock, Republican of California, joined Democrats in voting no. Just one Republican did not vote on the measure, Representative Steve Scalise, Republican of Louisiana, who was receiving cancer treatments. A fourth Republican, Representative Blake Moore, Republican of Utah, flipped his vote to no at the last minute, according to a report from conservative journalist Greg Price. That was not done because Moore opposes the measure. Instead, Republicans plan to revisit the motion at a later date, and it has to be someone who voted on one side, the side that prevailed, changing their vote to make that happen. So I think that's exactly what's going on here. Meanwhile, get this, in Nevada, this is fascinating. He wasn't even on the ballot. I think Nikki Haley thought it was going to be a piece of cake for her, just as she may still have the lingering illusion that South Carolina is going to be a piece of cake for her. Donald Trump wins Nevada primary without being on the ballot. Voters picked none of these candidates over boosting Nikki Haley. And he got like 60% of the vote. Okay, get this. Former President Trump walked away with a win at Tuesday GOP Nevada primary. Nikki Haley was the only viable candidate on the Republican primary ballot thanks to a rift between state lawmakers and the Nevada GOP. Voters opted to choose none of these candidates, a symbolic vote for Trump, with many planning to caucus for the former president in Nevada on Thursday. Get this, again, Daily Mail. Nikki Haley suffered an embarrassing defeat to rival Donald Trump in the Nevada Republican primary Tuesday, even though he wasn't on the ballot. The former South Carolina governor lost by almost 27 points to none of these candidates, an option given to voters in the Silver State in the first of two primary contests this week. Haley didn't campaign in the state due to her campaign saying the election was rigged for the ex-president, who is on the ballot for Thursday's caucus. But the loss in the race, where Trump didn't even compete, is a crushing blow for the former United Nations ambassador, who is still struggling to find a path to the GOP nomination. The no-stakes primary on Tuesday night has no impact on the race for delegates, but voters made their voices heard with their symbolic pick for the Republican front runner. Nice. Very nice. Here's one, too, rather interesting. Well, we have RFK Jr. ramping up his criticism of Trump policies. This comes from the Epic Times. At voter rallies and in media interviews, Mr. Kennedy has been increasingly outspoken about how he differs from former President Donald Trump. Tucson. Former President Donald Trump intended to drain the swamp when he took office in 2017, but he was intimidated by bureaucrats at federal agency and did not accomplish that objective, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said on February 5th. Speaking at a voter rally in Tucson, where he collected signatures to get on the Arizona ballot, the independent presidential candidate said, President Trump was earnest, but he vowed to drain the swamp, but it was business as usual during his term. John Bolton, whom President Trump appointed as a national security advisor, is a template for a swamp creature, Mr. Kennedy said. Scott Gottlieb, whom President Trump named to run the FDA, was Pfizer's business partner and eventually returned to Pfizer to collect his payoff. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, State of the Nation has published a partial transcript, actually the full transcript, of Tucker's interview with Vladimir Putin in Moscow. They don't have the video. I would think that's going to show up today. But they do have a little intro that Tucker gave, including interviews with Russians on the street. And it's striking to me how intelligent, how well-informed they are. You could not get similar responses from American citizens in any city in the United States. Here we go. In a stunning turn of events, renowned journalist Tucker Carlson has embarked on a mission of historic proportions, with a fate of Ukraine and the world hanging in the balance. Tucker has arrived in Moscow determined to interview none other than President Vladimir Putin. Can this audacious move be the key to ending the war in Ukraine and preventing the looming catastrophe of World War III? Read on to delve into this gripping tale of courage, journalism, and the quest for peace. Now, I had a call during the break that Tucker is lighting into the NSA because the NSA has been spying on him during his visit to Moscow. And of course, you'll no doubt hear there are proposals to deny Tucker the ability to re-enter the United States. There are parties who are calling him a traitor to the United States for interviewing the President of the United States, and I guarantee anyone adopting that stance is thereby revealing their own role as traitors to the United States, because Tucker is doing honest journalism, which is very rare in America today. Here we have the transcript. Tucker, what would you tell the people running America? Putin, our message is Russia is not your enemy. We don't want war. We're ready for peace. Your leaders seek conflict. This is not what we want. Russia stands for its own people. We do not want what is not ours. Tucker, would you visit Washington? Putin, yes, of course. I've been to the United States before. I enjoy visiting and have met with every president except Joe Biden. If invited, I would go, yes. Tucker, what is your opinion of President Biden? Putin, we're convinced he is not running the country. Let's say we have good sources that confirm this, but it's plain for anyone to see for themselves. The U.S. has now entered into a dark period. It has unaccountable leadership. Tucker, do you think Joe Biden won fair and square? Putin, I would rather not get into domestic American politics, but will say my embassy reported your southern border was better run than that 2020 election. Chuckling. Tucker, one poll in America shows you are more popular than Biden. Any reaction? Putin laughs. I don't know if that should be taken seriously, but Russian ideals have support. We believe in traditional values. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Men are men and women are women. Tucker, what would you like to see as the next Who would you like to see as the next president of the United States? Putin. Once again, it is not for us to say or get involved. Contrary to longstanding accusations, we do not meddle in your elections. We don't need to because the same people end up running things anyway. Tucker. Why did you invade Ukraine? Putin. Did we invade or were we invaded? Look at the history. Look at the people living there. Historically, it's we who were invaded and are simply fighting back now. Their lands and people are Russian, and we will have again what was always ours. Tucker, how did you feel? How will you feel if Trump wins again? Putin. We had good relations when Mr. Trump was president. There was no war. Our relations were at a high point. That said, nothing is predictable or stays the same. We will have to see. Tucker, what do you think of Mr. Zelensky, and what would your message, what would be your message to him? Putin, I remember laughing to his jokes when he was a comedian in Russia. Let's go back to laughs. Tucker, why is that? Putin, there are strong financial entities in whose interest it is to keep us as adversaries. One of your president warns against that. We Russians do not have that problem. Tucker, do you see the United States as an enemy? Putin, no, categorically no. We were allies in World War II. Russians helped settle Alaska, California. We were in Hawaii, too. Our people are not enemies, but those in D.C. are certainly not our friends. Tucker, can you be more specific and name names? Putin, it would be pointless. It is not up to us to solve your domestic issues. Beside, I'm sure you know the names better than us. Tucker, so you're saying your adversary is not Joe Biden, but the people behind him? Putin, exactly. Joe Biden may not even be aware of what's going on. He may not understand the level of sanctions thrown at Russia. Who put those sanctions together? Those are our adversaries. Tucker, is that why you're champion the BRICS? Putin, the BRICS would exist anyway. It's a natural reaction to the Western trading bloc. It's a counterweight. When the dollar is weaponized against states, there'll be a natural alternative to it. That's what we want. Tucker, is that why you and Russia have been targeted? Putin, it's more complicated than that, but I'm sure it's a good part of the reason. Whenever the dollar is in danger, the United States takes extreme measures. It cannot afford to have the dollar fall. Tucker, but isn't Russia weaker and more vulnerable economically than the U.S.? Putin, when you look at the size of the economies, we are small. But few people take into account our vast natural resources. Russia has over $80 trillion in the ground. No other country even comes close. Tucker, what is your opinion of President Biden? Putin, we are concerned he is not running the country. Let's say we have good sources that confirm this, but plain for anyone to see for themselves. The U.S. has now entered a dark period. It has unaccountable leadership. That appears, by the way, to be a repeat. Tucker, okay, point well taken. But don't you have the same issues in Russia? Putin, yes, to a degree. But in Russia, those interests are more aligned with the thinking of the average Russian man on the street. In the United States, that is not the case. The elites have deserted you, Tucker. So who do you think is running the U.S. then? Putin. the same forces who have always run it. You may change president, but you do not change those in real power. That is who we have to deal with. Joe Biden is just a facade for this power structure. Tucker, thank you for sitting down with us. How is your health? There have been some rumors. Putin, I'm glad to talk to you and through you to the American people. I'm fine. I feel good. Given my years, I'm in the best of health. But Father Time, Tucker, there have been persistent reports you have cancer. Putin, I assure you those rumors are false. If I had cancer and beat it, I would share the good news and the care, the cure with the world. Tucker, when you say some fear him, and this here I think is about Elon Musk, and I think part of the transcript is in the wrong sequence. It'll become clear. When you say some fear him, are you saying Musk has enemies? Putin. It's clear to see he has enemies within the United States. The way he was stripped of $50 billion in assets, we would call that being singled out for special treatment. It's unfair on the face of it. Tucker, don't you fear Musk when he starts supplying Russia with Starlink gear? Putin. If anyone seriously thinks a few internet dishes can defeat the might of Russia, well, what can I say? But no, we did not blame Mr. Musk. The government didn't give him much choice. Tucker, a lot has changed in the world. What's your opinion of Elon Musk? And you see, I think this is where it began. Putin. We see Mr. Musk is a businessman, a highly successful one. He's built a great fortune and a huge following. He's a unique thinker with a force of personality who cannot be bought. Some fear that. Tucker, do you have any advice for Elon? Putin, I would say continue on. Do not be intimidated. But if the going ever gets too rough, there is Russia. We would gladly open our doors to you. We have welcomed an American businessman before and would value someone of Mr. Musk's caliber. Tucker, let's turn to Trump. First, tell me how you feel about the current situation with the likelihood of him being reelected. Putin. It would be a bit strange and out of order, but we are well prepared. He has promised to end the fighting in Ukraine, and we support that notion. Tucker, how could he end the war so fast? Putin, for one thing, he never insulted us. He has a great respect for Russia. We would start from a position of friendship and trust. Then all problems are solvable. We could get it done. Trust me. Tucker, are you referring to the Biden calling you a killer? Putin, we have been the recipients of numerous insults and slurs going back a few generations of politicians. Mr. Trump was a refreshing break from that. He is very popular in Russia. Perhaps that won't do him any good. Tucker, are you in any communication with Trump? Putin, no, of course not. But should he win again, our lines of communication would open instantly. Right now, we have no dialogue with President Biden. Tucker, that's shocking to me. No one from the White House has been in contact with you. Putin, that's right. No one has called since we congratulated Mr. Biden on his election victory. It's puzzling to us that communications are colder now than during the Cold War. Tucker, how do you think the 2024 election will go? Putin, we are just observing, but our responsibility to be vigilant, since it will impact the world. We are hoping the election is carried out in a way where the results can be believed. In Russia, we do not have mail-in ballots. Tucker, let's turn to China. What is your relationship like, Putin? President Xi and I are especially close. Russia and China are enjoying good relations as of now, which is an obvious asset to us. Since they are one of our biggest energy partners, we will continue to be friends. Tucker, there are accusations. China has helped you in the war in Ukraine. Is that true? Putin, that is not something I can discuss. Let's just say Russia isn't an isolated power. That strategy has failed. We have more allies and trading partners than before the war started. Tucker, do you ever contemplate a situation where Russia and China may join forces against the United States? Putin, do you mean economically or militarily? I would say we want neither. It's not in our interest to clash with the U.S. because all sides would lose in such a conflict. Tucker, speaking of conflicts, what is your take on the Gaza situation? Putin, it is really unfortunate. The Palestinians are being devastated. Israel is acting in an unconstrained manner. It shows a terrible double standard in the world. Where are the sanctions on Israel? Tucker, is Russia involved in any way, especially through your alliance with Iran? Putin, no, of course not. We do not oppose the existence of Israel, but at the same time, we support the right of the Palestinians to self-determination. We want to be even-handed. Tucker, are you following what's happening on the U.S. southern border, Putin? Actually, yes. It's part of my daily briefing. We Russians find it ironically amusing your Congress will spend billions protecting foreign borders but neglect its own. It's quite laughable, but deadly. Tucker, deadly. How do you mean that? Putin. Deadly serious, of course. People are dying daily crossing your border in an uncontrolled way. It's a free-for-all. The world hasn't seen anything like it in the modern era. Reckless for a country to throw itself wide open like that. Tucker. Is Russia taking advantage of the border situation in any way, Putin? No, why should we? We don't have to do a thing. America is self-destructing. And as Napoleon said, don't stand in the way of your enemy destroying itself. Tucker, so then do you see America as an enemy, Putin? That was just a saying. But the current administration is definitely not a friend, Tucker. Can that be changed? Putin. That's why you have elections, Tucker. Thank you for continuing to engage with me on so many different topics. Can we get even more interesting, so to speak? And let me say, this is the second time he appeared to be concluding the conversation. I believe that's because Putin has a policy of interviews being limited to 15 or 20 minutes. So when they expend the first 15 or 20, Tucker's closing it off because that may be the end. And then Putin's allowing another 15 or 20. And then in this case, he allows a third. Putin, Tucker says, can we get even more interesting, so to speak, now for the third round? Putin, for sure. I am open to most subject. Tucker, let's touch on climate change. It's still being pushed in the United States and Europe. What's your position? Putin, humanity is not even a type 1 civilization in the Kardashev scale. If we can't harness the energy potential of the planet, How can we control the climate? Tucker, are you at least concerned? Putin, I'm more concerned with real issues. Climate change is not one of them. The Earth does a fairly good job of regulating itself. And if Siberia gets a little warmer, all the better. More farmland for Russia. Tucker. But what would you tell the true believers who are convinced we're headed for disaster? Putin. I tell them worrying about climate change is like complaining about the weather. If you don't like the climate, move. If you're worried about the weather, get an umbrella. Tucker. Along those lines, how do you see the transgender movement? Putin. It's interesting to me that all the things that used to be a target of blackmail are now badges of honor. In Russia, there are no laws either way, but we certainly do not force our children into it. Tucker. Russia has been criticized for its anti-gay laws and for being unfriendly to LGBTQ+. Putin. We have laws which protect our children, and we do not drape our embassies in rainbow flags. That's correct. Otherwise, we do not interfere in the private lives of adult citizens. Tucker. Do you follow American sports? We're about to have the Super Bowl. Putin. In fact, yes. Russia is a great sporting nation. We hosted the Winter Olympics and the World Cup fairly recently. We like all sports. Tucker. What do you think of American football? Putin. It's an interesting sport, but why do you call it football when the ball is almost always played with the hands? It also seems needlessly violent at times. Tucker, that's true. Will you be watching? Putin, the game will not be shown in Russia. Tucker, so you won't get to see Taylor Swift either then? Putin, no. We have been given a reprieve. Tucker, thank you, President Putin, for your time. In my opinion, Putin was completely masterful. Tucker is to be congratulated. I think this was an excellent example of journalism at its finest. Putin's remarks about transgenderism, climate change, you know, rainbow flags, totally appropriate. And, of course, all the claims which originated with Hillary Clinton that Russia had been interfering in the election, implying otherwise Donald Trump could never have become president, have, of course, been refuted by the history since. For Trump is winning by massive margins even when he's not on the ballot. Now, Joaquin Agopian is a graduate of West Point who has done more to expose pedophilia in the United States than anyone else, has just published a piece. Tucker Carlson, Vladimir Putin interview, an existential threat, the status quo globalist war, which I published on my blog just before coming on the air. Indeed, I was tweaking that when the show began, and I had to play catch up. Here we go. Stateofthenation.com website posted the Tucker Carlson interview of President Vladimir Putin. In fact, it was their translation on State of the Nation that I was sharing with you just now. It shows Putin in fine form, casually answering Tucker's varied questions on many topics. Tucker Carlson in Moscow this week has attracted a lot of attention, even from mainstream news, though it's tainted and biased. The usual neocons like Bill Kristol and Rhino Representative Adam Kinzinger are calling Carlson a traitor who should not be allowed to return to America. Tucker was tipped off that the NSA put him on their up-close and personal watch list throughout. The ample pre-coverage might be considered self-promotional hype in his anticipated sit-down with Vladimir Putin. Tucker even put out his own preview, saying how Americans have always been kept in the dark from knowing the truth about Russia and Ukraine. Yet billions of citizens are paying billions in taxes. I think he means millions of citizens are paying billions in taxes to keep this genocide in Ukraine going. The other genocide is against mostly Ukrainian males forced to be human cannon fodder for the criminal deep state. When Putin talks these days, most of the world is listening intently, more intently. More of the world is listening intently than ever before, primarily because he says things that ring true and as a probable opponent to the globalist agenda that controls exploitative U.S. West actions. Thus, the emerging multipolar world replacing U.S. West unipolar hegemony is now embracing him as a worthy alternative to the neo-colonialist imperialism of U.S. West. And because the truth about Ukraine and why Putin on February 24, 2022 chose to intervene isn't known, we'll be right back after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim.
denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I continue with Joaquin Agopian, going back a sentence or two. Tucker even put out his own preview saying how Americans have always been kept in the dark from knowing the truth about Russia and Ukraine, yet millions of citizens are paying billions in taxes to keep the genocide in Ukraine going. The other genocide is against mostly Ukrainian males forced to be human cannon fodder for the criminal deep state. When Putin talks these days, more of the world is listening intently than ever before, primarily because he says things that ring true, and is a probable opponent to the globalist agenda that controls exploitative U.S. West. Thus, the emerging multipolar world replacing U.S. West unipolar hegemony is now embracing him as a worthy alternative to the neocolonialist imperialism of U.S. West. And because the truth about Ukraine and why Putin on February 24, 2022 chose to intervene isn't known or accepted by very many Americans, because all they ever heard was false propaganda that the Hitler wannabes' unprovoked invasion was a blow against Western democracy embodied by Ukraine. Total lies, of course, but that's all American Westerners are ever exposed to via the mainstream media lies. You have to do a little homework down on some of the more credible independent journalism site to get a glimpse of the bigger picture. So for Putin to address Americans on a huge platform, unmatched by the waning MSM dribble, Putin is presented with a rare opportunity to tell Americans that he is not America's villainous enemy, but embraces Americans in a world in which he would choose to live in peace with the U.S. and the West. It's always been the West fixation fantasy to encircle its Cold War enemy with hostile neighbors and U.S.-made missiles aimed at Moscow. So the truth is not what evil globalist controllers want Americans to know, because it doesn't fit their self-serving false narrative agenda of fascistic absolute dystopic control over the world's population, and it exposes the actual bad guys, the globalists, as a true enemy of the global masses. The handful of bloodline controllers wanting upwards of 95% of us dead on this earth sooner than later do not want Putin's voice reaching American Western audiences. So I anticipate some important truth coming out of the Carlson Putin interview that dispels all the lies, treats more people in the West than the evil ones want. And as a result, people may see the world geopolitical stage a little more differently, perhaps inclining them to mobilize a unifying force of world citizens on a grassroots level, advocating peace, soundly rejecting the globalist death cult and its malevolent divide and rule agenda, currently promoting the West versus East World War III endgame like there's no tomorrow, along with more bioweapon pandemics, economic collapse, and CBDC feudal enslavement of the WEFers, the WEFers call the Great Reset. Again, my own point of view, Joaquin Egobian writes, is, even though I like what Putin says, I'm not one to see him as our savior. Russia's human rights record on his watch hasn't been much better than the Soviet Gulag era, in my estimation, and early on, is being groomed by City of London, Kissinger and Associates, Klaus Schwab et al., gives me pause. His handling of the so-called COVID pandemic, recommending Russian coronavirus vaccines, albeit not nearly as dangerous and lethal as Pfizer and Moderna's mRNA kill shots, I'm inclined to consider Putin more as controlled opposition. I hope he turns out to be a good guy. I think, to some extent, he is a nationalist and not a globalist, actually wanting to protect his fellow citizens and is embracing traditional Russian culture and values strongly oriented to the Christian Orthodox Church. His rejection of the insidious globalist West, LGBTQ wokeism movement, all of that is reassuring. He has taken a genuinely honest stand against a pedophilia scourge, West, Sodom and Gomorrah decadence, and the massive, mentally ill brainwash of wokeism. But it's too early to tell, in my opinion, to know if in the end, Putin turns out to be a good guy in the future, world history books or not. We need to see what the outcome in Ukraine is first. For humanity's sake, I hope and pray he does turn out to be different, decent, because no other major political leader on today's world stage, in my opinion, is a good guy that I can tell. Mostly they're all just lapdogs from hell, going along with their bloodline masters' evil scripts, pushing genocidal policies against the human race. Hungary's Viktor Orban has stood up against the globalist groomed European Union. Viktor may have an ally in Slovakia's recently elected Robert Fico, but sadly, the globalists pretty much own the other 30 or so EU member states. Maybe in this multipolar role as a world leader among the fast-growing BRICS alliance, just maybe, this seasoned upstart, Vladimir Putin, can offer the world a different path than the same old, that's all we've known. And just maybe Putin and the likes of emerging nationalists like Orban and others as a supporting cast are the coming trend, helping us turn the corner on the slipping maniacal grip the globalists determined to shackle us in one world government chains. Just maybe these nationalist-oriented leaders wanting to do right by their citizen constituencies can represent an emerging rare breed, shedding light at the end of an otherwise endless dark tunnel, out of the quagmire of death and war, and finally into light of world peace, mutual cooperation and respect, valuing the autonomy and sovereignty of both nation states and individual citizens. And just maybe together, this movement led by Putin can help humanity move in the right direction as an honest, unifying force for our species to overcome the pervasive evil and come out the other side of today's epic battle between good and evil as victors over our common globalist enemy, emerging still fairly well intact as a species. Perhaps humanity can free itself from the hijacked, immobilized state of oppression and engineered nonstop crises of terror and abuse. Can we as a species finally move forward in unity in the right direction for a brighter future, find a pathway to transcend the deeply troubled, dangerous, dark world we've only known? Perhaps Putin and others can somehow break the mold, this long historical pattern that has ruled over this earth so long, a stacked up nonstop history churning out one bad apple after the next of bought and paid for captured leaders as same as the old boss syndrome, as our nightmarishly forever rerun that's characterized humanity's history as so brutally dark and despairing. Very few prominent figures throughout history have been positive role models that have left a substantial lasting mark and legacy. Why? Because anyone with any promise that turned out to be a really great leader helping humanity at large always gets assassinated first. All are brutally stopped from turning things completely around before they're snuffed out by murder. We can go back to Jesus, a leap forward to Lincoln, and in the modern realm of Gandhi, JFK, RFK, Martin Luther King, all come to mind. Humanity's pathetic track record of removing the ugly grip of this satanic death cult hidden hand has not fared well at all. But maybe, just maybe, we are turning the corner at last. Nice. Very nice. But get this. Breitbart Publishing. EU politician threatened to sanction Tucker Carlson for interviewing Vladimir Putin. You heard the interview, a transcript of the interview. What was wrong with that? What did Putin say that should be regarded as in any way threatening to the West? I find this ridiculous, propagandistic, totally biased, reflecting a paranoia that truth about Putin, that he's not a murderous dictatorial villain on the world stage, is going to emerge. Here's what Breitbart reports. European Union lawmakers here call for Brussels to impose sanctions on American journalist Tucker Carlson for interviewing Russian President Vladimir Putin. Despite the long-standing tradition of American journalists interviewing dictators of all stripes, including a leader of the Soviet Union during the height of the Cold War, top Eurocrat Guy Verhofstadt has called for Tucker Carlson to face EU sanctions for sitting down with a Russian strongman. The former Belgian prime minister and strong Brexit opponent, who currently serves in the European Parliament, told Newsweek, as Putin is a war criminal and the EU sanctions all who assist him in that effort, it seems logical that the External Action Services examine his case as well. The very idea of Putin as a war criminal, of course, requires an interpretation. From what I can see, he's not even remotely in that category. Where, after the United States engineered the revolution in Ukraine in 2014 and deposed the democratically elected leader who is Russia-friendly, with a Western stooge of whom Zelensky is the present successor, where since that took place, Kiev has been bombarding the Donbass, populated with ethnic Russians, Russian-speaking, Russian-friendly population, bringing about thousands of deaths, where Ukraine was on the verge of launching a mass invasion that would have led to a slaughter, a genocide in the Donbass. Putin interviewed then with Russian forces to prevent that from happening. And that makes him a war criminal? Seems to me makes him a savior of the people of the Donbass, who, of course, like those of Crimea, participated in internationally recognized referenda to rejoin Russia, of which historically they were a part, including the Donbass, five major parts of which have also joined Russia, and which I guarantee Russia will never relinquish. This former Belgian PM seemed to me to be a Rothschild stooge. He doesn't like what Putin's saying here, because if what Putin's saying is true, then the motive for continuing the war in Ukraine, and even for the genocide in Palestine, has no foundation at all. Continuing. The process for the EU to sanction an individual is typically a lengthy one, with evidence first needing to be presented to its External Action Service, the bloc's diplomatic arm, run by Spanish socialist Josep Borrell, before being put to the European Council for a final decision. However, even before the interview with Putin, which the Kremlin confirmed Wednesday, Verhofstadt also suggested Carlson could face being banned from entering the EU, which could feasibly be imposed sooner. Writing on Monday, Tucker Carlson is surely on the path to being labeled a propagandist for the Russian regime. If he enables disinformation for Putin, the EU should explore a travel ban. Now, I ask you, you heard the interview. What is supposed to be the disinformation espoused by Putin? How is Tucker serving as a propagandist? There's absolutely no foundation for those claims. This is equivalent to designating as hate speech, speech you don't like, speech you hate, because it's true, so you call it hate speech because you hate to hear the truth. Here's Breitbart, London, tweeting. Ukraine's controversial American transgender, sometimes spokesperson, Sarah Ashton Carrillo, has accused Tucker Carlson of being the Kremlin's favorite court eunuch, an enemy of humanity, apparently placing a target on the head of Carlson. Breitbart continues. Although the European Union, the United States, and NATO are not officially at war with Russia, some, including former U.S. Congressman Adam Kinzinger, have accused Carlson of being a traitor for interviewing Putin. Verhofstadt, for his part, branded Carlson an enemy of everything the U.S. stands for and a mouthpiece for the Kremlin. Well, the United States is supposed to stand for freedom of speech, freedom of the press. How the hell can Tucker be in opposition of everything the United States stands for when he's exercising his right as a journalist of freedom of speech and freedom of the press. I mean, this is lunatic. You got to understand the insanity that pervades some of these European political leaders. It's a travesty. They are betraying their constituents. Tucker is doing superlative. Why has no one in the past been interviewing Putin? That's because they want to be free to misrepresent him in every possible way, where Tucker has punctured the propaganda bubble by giving Putin an opportunity to speak for himself. Verhofstadt is not alone among Eurocrats calling for Carlson to face sanctions, with former Estonian Foreign Minister Urmas Paet, who now serves in the European Parliament, telling Newsweek. Carlson wants to give a platform to someone accused of crimes of genocide. This is wrong. If Putin has something to say, he needs to say it in front of the ICC. At the same time, Carlson is not being a real journalist, since he has clearly expressed his sympathy for the Russian regime and Putin, and has consistently disparaged Ukraine, the victim of Russian aggression. How many lies are embedded there? And if you're not supposed to interview someone accused of genocide, how can anyone ever interview Bibi Netanyahu, the greatest genocidalist of our time? It's just offensive. It's an affront, the double standard, the hypocrisy. Grotesque. Breitbart continues, quoting, "So, for such propaganda for a criminal regime, you can end up on the list of sanctions. This concerned primarily travel ban to EU countries. But again, I say, what's the propaganda? So far as I can tell, every single assertion Boot made is true. And with any doubt, every assertion he made is sincere." This is completely authentic interview with a man's opinion. Tucker was there to interview the man for his opinions, not to assess whether those opinions were true. But from all I can discern, everything Putin offered was not only his opinion, but was also true. Nothing propagandistic there, even remotely. Breitbart. Carlson has asserted that he did not interview Putin to serve the interests of Russia, but rather to better inform the American public on the Ukraine war, which he claims had been shrouded in propaganda by Western legacy media outlets. Is there any doubt? The suggestion that the EU could impose sanctions on an American journalist for merely performing the basic duties of a journalist has drawn criticism. Tesla and ex-chief Elon Musk said of the proposed sanctions, "One may agree with Tucker or not, but he is a major American journalist, and such an action would greatly offend the American public." Here we have another tweet. Russia says, "Tucker Carlson interview with Vladimir Putin has taken place." Here we have that complimentary article. "The interview with Russian dictator Vladimir Putin," by the way, I don't think he is a dictator. I think he was also elected to that office. If you wanted to talk about a dictator, Biden is closer to a dictator because he wasn't even elected. He was put in by manipulating the outcome of an election, and he's been betraying the American people right and left. "The interview with Russian dictator Vladimir Putin announced by Tucker Carlson had been confirmed to have taken place by the Kremlin. Vladimir Putin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said the Russian president had spoken in person to American journalist Tucker Carlson for Russian state media. Perkov said, "Yes, I can confirm this, and as soon as it is ready, it will be released." Well, I have yet to see. I have yet to see the video, but I expect we're going to see it and see it soon. And there you have both sides threatening to censor Tucker for doing an interview with Putin. Give me a break. That's embarrassing. That's horrific. That's contrary to the First Amendment. All the principles of journalism for which this country is supposed to stand. Now, I admit, we're doing a piss-poor job of it. Really. Unbelievably bad. But it is our tradition. And when Tucker lives up to our highest ideals, it's outrageous to attack and criticize him for doing that. Everyone else ought to be doing the same. Everyone else. Absolutely incredible. So, I will be taking your calls right after the break. The number is 608-957-8727. And in their absence, I'll follow up with additional reports about what's going on in the world today. Right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it?
that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Just to reflect how bad it's become for this fake Biden, the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, was bent out of shape when Peter Boosey asked her an obvious question about Biden's cognitive health after his latest alarming incident. This is from Blaze Media. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre showed her displeasure Tuesday when confronted about President Biden's cognitive health on Sunday. Biden raised eyebrows. They told a crowd in Las Vegas they spoke with François Mitterrand after winning the presidency. But that's impossible because Mitterrand, a former French president, died almost 30 years ago. In 1996, the White House later edited the official transcript of Biden's speech to show the president met as a Macron, a reference to the current president of France, Emmanuel Macron. But of course, that's not what he actually said. At the press briefing, Fox correspondent Peter Doocy, who's really good, asked Jean-Pierre how this latest incident fit with a narrative that Biden is mentally healthy. How is President Biden ever going to convince the three-quarters of voters, and this is actual polling, who are worried about his physical and mental health that he's okay, even though in Las Vegas, he recently told a story about talking to a French president who died in 1996. The question clearly angered Jean-Pierre. I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole with you, sir, she responded, trying to move to a different reporter. Why? What is the rabbit hole, he said. And he said he talked to Mitterrand. Jean-Pierre incoherently replied, you saw the president in Vegas in California. You've seen the president in South Carolina. You saw him in Michigan. I'll just leave it there. And with that, Jean-Pierre cut off Doocy and refused to allow any further questions. We have a caller from the 408 area code. I believe this is Paul. Join the conversation, Paul.
Well, just as a quick point of correction, first of all, XI in China is Xi. I believe you said President Xi, so I just wanted
or to... Or Xi. Yeah, good, Paul. Yes, I thank you.
Hope that doesn't
Xi.
Happen again. yeah, I'm glad I didn't have a big breakfast. It would have been really hard to take all the Tucker Carlson worship here. You know, I'm waiting for the picture of him with the beanie at the Wailing Wall. I don't think there is one. To be honest, I haven't searched. But mark my word, it's coming. I mean, I really am sort of, I don't know, I chafe at the idea. I'm a little insulted by this, the notion earlier in the show when Elon Musk was referred to as a bold or courageous, entrepreneur and businessman, right? When he was led around by the nose to Auschwitz, you know, and he went there with Ben Shapiro. It's like, it couldn't be more obvious. I mean, if they offered you an all expenses paid trip to Auschwitz, Jim, I mean, I'm sorry, but I just don't see you accepting unless you're going to go there and try to lecture them on how it was just a work camp. And they
I visit the Symphony Hall, the woodwork, the hospital where they had OBGYN facilities. I'd want to see the brothel. That there are no gas chambers and never were, the whole thing being such a farce. That remark, of course, that remark about Musk was made by Vladimir Putin, Paul. I mean, that's his opinion.
I know. It's ridiculous. And here's the thing. Okay, again, I mean, you know, my calls have been the same for years, and you know where I'm going with this. This idea that some of the things you were reading, I mean, I know you got a show to do and a lot of material to cover, but these forces of good and evil, right? And the darkness that humanity has experienced. Well, there's a cause of this. You know, to me, the whole idea with not naming the Jew, which we know Tucker Carlson is never going to name the Jew, okay? Tucker Carlson is never going to question the Holocaust, okay? As you know, he mocked and made fun of 9/11 conspiracy theorists, okay? There's a whole list that's as great as everybody perceives Tucker Carlson to be as a quote journalist, right? There's a whole list on the other side of the ledger, you know, an indictment of why he isn't, because he can't or he won't tell the truth. And people that can't or won't tell the truth, what can be said about them? They're either bought and paid for, they're afraid, or they have no integrity. I don't believe it. They don't know, because how hard is it to know what's going on in the world? This talk about the, you know, like I said, the good versus the evil and all these other things going on. This is like ranchers or farmers talking about, oh, the problem of our sheep and our cattle disappearing and our chickens, you know, being killed. You know, this is the problem. We have to deal with it. But they'll never talk about like the wolves or the coyotes, right? It just doesn't make any sense to me anymore. I mean, there's a known cause for all the misery in the world, and you and I both know what it is. And it just gets...
Yeah,
it's tiresome to me.
Paul, of course, I agree with you overall in terms of the big picture. But, you know, everyone's affected by the limits, the boundaries of their own knowledge and competence. I mean, I'm dealing with members of the 9/11 truth community who are not ought to know better, who are still promoting nanothermite as the explanation for how the Twin Towers were destroyed when it's impossible that nanothermite could have been responsible. I mean, these are people who are active and relatively prominent in the 9/11 truth community advocating a false theory. Now, I know it's false. I lay out the evidence that proves it's false. That doesn't mean, however, they're going to buy it or change their mind. So I think you're a little overly simplistic about suggesting if they don't know the truth, they're deliberately avoiding it.
Jim, I can't tell you how different night and day these examples are. What you're talking about is some technical theory or interpretation of data versus the overarching underlying picture, which is obvious to like 14 and 15 and 16 year olds on 4chan. Okay. I mean, people know, everybody knows, people in the streets in different nations, in the different cities across the world were chanting, gas the Jews, okay? The people on the street know, everybody on the internet knows. It's a joke to pretend anymore. That's the problem that I have with all of this. It's pretending, whether it's Greg Abbott or Donald Trump or Tucker Carlson or any of these people, they're all just pretending. I'm sorry. This is the way it is. And you're going to find out, you and all these big, stupid Trump believers are going to learn the hard way once again when 2024 comes along. I'm sorry. It's just not going to take place the way you think it is. And I was willing to bet another RBN host on the air, and he, you know, he made a big deal. It was a funny exchange, and I actually have it on recording. But I bet him, A, that either Trump wasn't going to be elected, or B, that if he was elected, he wasn't going to do pretty much any of the things that he promised. And he wouldn't take the bet.
I'll take the bet, Paul. I'll take the bet.
You will, okay.
All right. Sure.
For $1,000?
Well, let's be a little more modest because I don't have a lot of money. How about $100? $100, Paul.
$100. The amount doesn't matter. Okay.
It's fine. Symbolic, Paul. It's symbolic.
I know, but here's
I'm taking your bet.
Okay. All right. Fine. You know,
that would include. Let me be specific. That would include shutting down the border, getting us out of these wars, both in Ukraine and in Israel, and in addition, using his Schedule F to fire a vast number of civil servants who've been shaping policy and rendering decisions they weren't elected to shape or render. Those would be the parameters of what I would say I'm expecting of him.
All right. I'm going to dispense. Okay. So this will be a multifaceted bet. I'm willing to do, you know, what they call a multi-leg parlay, which is what you're talking about. But let's get more specific here. I don't care about shutting down the border. Okay. And that again, is going to be hard to verify, mostly symbolic. Let's be specific about what he's said repeatedly. He's going to deport millions and millions of these people. That's not going to take place. So if you say that is, then fine. That's part of the bet. I'll go ahead and go along with the other stuff that you just mentioned. Right. But to me, the most important thing is what he's not going to do, which he's not going to deport millions and millions of these people. And that's if he gets in. I mean, the bottom line is we don't know for sure if that's going to take place because of all the things you've already covered. But again, I just go back to this notion of what is it we're dealing with? What are we looking at here? And there's obviously a power structure, the so-called deep state, the globalists, and all these other people. They're all cooperating with each other. Okay, that they're the ones that are actually running the show. They're in power. They're the ones that have the ability to put on this stage production that we call the Biden presidency. They're the ones that have the ability to, quote, fake or steal the election and then get all the courts, including the Supreme Court, to go along with the steal and get all the major media outlets to go along with it and pretend that it was a real election. I mean, they're still doing it to this day. You can hear various talk show hosts and late night comedians and so still mocking the idea, the conspiracy theory that Trump actually won the election. So this system is still in place. And so I guess part of my bet would be that if Trump gets elected, and I have my doubts that this is going to occur, I wish he was real and I wish he would get elected. But unfortunately, I don't believe that neither of those things will occur. But if he does, he's not going to topple this existing power structure because he's shown us who he is. He's been to the Wailing Wall, the so-called Wailing Wall, which, as you know, our friend Giuseppe has called just another Roman wall. And he's kissed it with the beanie, wearing the beanie, put his lips to the wall. So I just don't know what else I need to say on that.
Well, I mean, if he doesn't undertake a massive deportation program, then I would consider you to have won the bet. So I think we're in agreement on the terms.
Okay, good. Good. We're there.
And I know, and of course, we're all well aware of the gestures he's made toward Israel that I have condemned in the past, the most outstanding of which, of course, was the assassination of Soleimani, which in my opinion is unforgivable. But that doesn't mean he's not still the best of our options, however flawed. And you've heard me emphasize that point many, many times. So
sure.
Well, I appreciate your coming on and giving qualification. Let me ask you this question. Is it good that Tucker interviewed Putin? Was that a good thing to do, regardless of how you think perhaps there were issues that weren't answered and with the kind of candor you believe was appropriate? Was it a good thing or a bad?
Okay, if you're asking me to put an adjective to it, I would say it's irrelevant. I mean, it's not good or bad. It's irrelevant. It's kind of like, who cares? So Tucker went over and interviewed Putin. Fine. Why doesn't Tucker come back on his show? He's off Fox now, right? He's doing his own thing. So why can't he start naming the Jew? this, people have been doing this now for years, and it's amazing the number of people that are joining on board. They're finally either seeing the light of the day, you know, finding out the truth, or finding their courage. But it's occurring all over the internet, okay? And if I was given a little time, I could compile a small list of people over the last 3-4 years who didn't used to name the Jew, and now they do. So Tucker could do it if he wants. But the bottom line is, as we all know, I mean, many people have contended he's CIA, okay? And his father was certainly, you know, suspect. But the fact of the matter is he won't really talk about the, like, the vaccine genocide. Will he talk about that? Will he talk about the fraud of COVID? Will he talk about the chemtrails and the weather warfare? Will he talk about the directed energy weapons and the fires? Will he, all these real issues that are being, that war is being made upon us. Will he talk about white genocide? Will he talk about the deliberate implementation of the Kalergi plan in all of Europe and North America and Australia that is essentially going to end up swamping out the white race? This is inevitability if nothing is done physically to reverse it. Tucker Carlson has never been explicitly pro-white, and he'd probably be the first one to say, oh, I'm not a racist. He'd be the first in line to say, oh, well, it doesn't really matter what your country of origin or what ethnicity you are, as long as you come here, quote, legally. All this ridiculous nonsense. As I mentioned so many times on your shows, and believe me, you know, I love the fact that you're still on the air and that I'm still calling and talking now, like, what, six, seven, 8 years later. But nothing has changed. I mean, the same people are still in power.
Well, who in your opinion is doing a better job of journalism than Tucker, in your opinion?
Well, Jim, I mean, again, you're talking about a mainstream. As you know, there's so many different websites to tell the truth, and you can just go there and see the people that write articles there. So again, Tucker Carlson is, you know, he's a known quantity. He used to be, quote, mainstream. Now he's not on Fox anymore, and he's doing his own thing. That's fine. But the questions that you ask me, who's doing a better job or who's a better choice than Trump, these are, in my opinion, irrelevant questions, because it presupposes the idea that the system itself and performance within the system is any kind of answer, is any sort of solution to what lies not only here in the present, but in our near-term future. I mean, they've already shown us that these elections, so-called elections, are completely and totally fake. Right. So politicians, for the most part, as you know, politicians are completely and totally fake. They couldn't even impeach this guy Mayorkas. Right. All the pomp. And I watched, online. I watched some of those hearings. I spent like an hour and a half or more watching some of these things. And it's exactly like the old saying. There's two things you don't want to see: sausage being made and the laws being made. And it's just an absurdity. And you got a Congress full of what, stupid women and beaners and blacks and all these people that absolutely don't belong here. You know what I want, Jim. I want a country run by white men, because that's the sort of country that we want and that we need. And all the stuff, and I don't know if you saw that some faggot, some Hispanic faggot in those hearings with that poster of what Trump really wants to do. Trump wants to put a alligator moat, an electrified fence, and start bombing northern Mexico and all that. It's like, you know what? At least 50% of the American public would be in favor of all of those. You know? Right. So it's a joke, but we fight on.
What Paul, do you think ought to be done about the border?
Well, come on. It's just the fact that we've been talking about this for how many years now, and how many years you've been hearing about immigration. I mean, I've been hearing about it since the 80s. At least we don't hear immigration reform that much anymore, although some people say, well, they still talk about it. But remember all those years, all those decades about immigration reform? They never were specific about what exactly needs to be reformed. The bottom line is they do not enforce our immigration laws, and they do not deport illegal aliens, and they've been giving people a hearing with a future court date and letting them go into the country. It's a fucking joke. It's like arresting, what you see what's going on, it's like arresting these petty criminals, right? Shoplifters and car vandals and all these other people, and then just letting them out with like no bail. you know, for a future court date. And then, of course, they commit more crimes and they come to find, oh, well, they were already out on bail or they were already released or they were already on probation for all these other offenses, but they're still doing it. And yeah, the reason they're still doing it is because they're not in jail. So it's a fucking joke. What's the point of having the laws if they're not enforced? Again, it's a simple idea that so-called cultural Marxism is and always has been the extension of communism, which is nothing more than the destabilization and the deconstruction of a white Christian high trust society. That's all this is. The Jews are the enemy. It's that simple. They need to go. Their presence among us is no longer, you know, tolerable. And it really should be never have occurred if we had listened to all the people in the past that told us about them. Going all the way back to Martin Luther, right? In his book, The Jews and Their Lies. And what that was 1500, I don't know the exact date, 1500 and change, where he said that if, you know, we had any brains at all, we would basically bulldoze. We didn't have bulldozers back then, but we would basically level all the synagogues and throw these people out. So, I mean, how much more historical record do we need? They're the foxes. They're the coyotes. They're the wolves. All right. It's really that simple. And people that don't talk about them as the cause, as that they're the quote evil. Okay. They're the darkness on humanity that's trying to take us down this road that everybody can see now. It's out in the open. To not talk about them, in my opinion, is just a kind of a, like a weird insanity.
Well, I'm glad you called in because, well, you would not know because I did not have a guest for today. I was contemplating reaching out to you to ask if you'd like to join me today, and here you are.
Well, I'm flattered. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you always have your mind made up, Paul. You have very definite opinions, and I think they're very worth getting out there into the public domain to kick around and, you know, sort them out and think about. You're very provocative, highly intelligent, and know your own mind. Those are all great virtues in my estimation. So I'm always glad when you call. Whether we agree or disagree is a totally separate matter. I mean, I'd like that you have represent this distinctive point of view. And of course, you're very successful in conveying it. So I don't think anything you've said here today is coming as a surprise to regular listeners to the show, but you're saying it in a slightly different context in relation to this interview, which I applaud. What would you regard as irrelevant? I think it's a major contribution because the public needs to be informed to have access to the thoughts of a man who's massively demonized, namely Vladimir Putin, because it makes a contribution, however modest, toward the possible avoidance of a nuclear war that could take all our lives. And while I wish you were right about the non-existence of nukes, I'm sorry to say, you know, our fate may hang in the balance of them. Go ahead.
Okay, so I am correct on that, all right? So leaving that, though, this is a teachable moment, as they say. Thank you for all your personal compliments, but it's not like I don't make points that are hard to refute. And so here would be one of them. You talked about the value of this interview and in terms of alleviating the demonization of Putin in the press. Well, this is my point exactly. Who exactly is demonizing him, right? Who is the press? Who controls the so-called press? This is the other thing, okay? Will Putin or Tucker Carlson talk about, for example, the central banks around the world and who they are controlled by? You know, who controls the Federal Reserve? Who started the Federal Reserve? Who was instrumental in writing the Federal Reserve Act? Paul Warburg, a German Jew, an agent for the Rothschilds, right? And on, there's a whole history to all of this. And all I do is I try to bring that up occasionally or to make it relevant in the present day. So while it's of interest, in other words, if it's a TV show, okay, then fine. You know, it's fine. It's not a bad television show, I suppose. But it doesn't change the reality of the world. And, of course, neither one of them will touch the third rail, as so many people have called it, will touch the elephant in the room. So when they do, when a politician really starts talking about all the things I've mentioned, right, our money system, the Federal Reserve, the chemtrail weather warfare phenomenon, directed energy weapons, the Kalergi plan, white genocide, all these things. We'll talk about them in real truthful terms. Then there's no reason to have any hope in politics. That's just my opinion. And by the way, I'll make clear, I like Trump. He's appealing to me on a number of levels. He's got that classic, I don't give a shit, alpha male mentality, and that appeals to a lot of Americans. I just have a difficult time trusting the man based on many things that many others have already articulated.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I respect that. Here's a story I think you find resonating. CNN insiders reveal Jerusalem Bureau must approve every Gaza story before publication on CNN.
Right.
They gotta get clearance from Israel. Here's Dmitry Lascaris tweeting, journalistic malpractice is a rather generous description of CNN's reporting on Palestine-Israel. A more accurate description would be complicity in genocide. CNN's talking heads aren't journalists. They're B-grade actors paid to promote a genocidal narrative. York.
Right. Well, sure. And I mean, I don't know. Did you recently see this story with photo of the president of Argentina? If that's what premier, president, whatever it is, going to Jerusalem and putting on the Jew beanie and kissing the Wailing Wall and crying. I mean, what is that? It's pathetic. What's his name?
I don't like it either. It's like a
rite of passage for any world leaders or anybody that wants to be significant on the world stage, so-called. We're all actors playing a part on our stage. We must make this pilgrimage. It's like I don't get it, but then again, I do.
Well, glad you called, Paul. Excellent contributions. I say to one and all, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on The Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.